From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome once again to a broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. In a few minutes, we'll be hearing from Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina, as he continues a series of studies in the 11th chapter of the Epistle to the Hebrews, that passage often referred to as Faith's Hall of Fame. The text is verse 31. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. As he continues to make application of these Old Testament accounts to the gospel of Jesus Christ, Dr. Cairns portrays Jericho as a picture of the world, with the sword of God's judgment suspended over it. God's mercy to Rahab demonstrates the truth that He delights to save sinners, notwithstanding the necessity of judging sin. As vile a sinner as Rahab was, when she believed what she heard about the God of Israel, her life was spared and her soul was saved. In just a few minutes, Dr. Cairns will bring the opening portion of a message entitled, Saved from Wrath by Faith. Before he comes, please enjoy this devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Morning by Morning. This morning's text comes from Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 9. Get thee up into the high mountain. Our knowledge of Christ is somewhat like climbing one of our Welsh mountains. When you are at the base, you see but little. The mountain itself appears to be but one half as high as it really is. Confined in a little valley, you discover scarcely anything but the rippling brooks as they descend into the stream at the foot of the mountain. Climb the first rising knoll, and the valley lengthens and widens beneath your feet. Go higher, and you see the country for 4 or 5 miles round, and you are delighted with the widening prospect. Mount still, and the scene enlarges, till at last, when you are on the summit and look east, west, north, and south, you see almost all England lying before you. Yonder is a forest in some distant county, perhaps 200 miles away, and here the sea, and there a shining river, and the smoking chimneys of a manufacturing town, or the masts of the ships in a busy port. All these things please and delight you, and you say, I could not have imagined that so much could be seen at this elevation. Now, the Christian life is of the same order. When we first believe in Christ, we see but little of Him. The higher we climb, the more we discover of His beauties. But who has ever gained the summit? Who has known all the heights and depths of the love of Christ which passes knowledge? Paul, when grown old, sitting gray-haired, shivering in a dungeon in Rome, could say with greater emphasis than we can, I know whom I have believed. For each experience had been like the climbing of a hill. Each trial had been like ascending another summit. And his death seemed like gaining the top of the mountain, from which he could see the whole of the faithfulness and the love of him to whom he had committed his soul. Get thee up, dear friend, into the high mountain.
Strength by fire.
What is it that constitutes revival? Is it a week of special meetings held at a local church? Is it an organized effort at door-to-door evangelism? Certainly the greatest revival in the history of the Christian church took place on the day of Pentecost. Down through the centuries there have been remarkable visitations of God during which thousands were gloriously saved. Times such as the Protestant Reformation, the revivals in England and Wales under John Wesley and George Whitefield, the Great Awakening in America associated with Jonathan Edwards were times of genuine spiritual revival. The common factor in all of these events was an undeniable demonstration of the power of God rather than the ingenuity of man. In the early 1950s, such a revival occurred on the Isle of Lewis, one of the Hebrides off the west coast of Scotland. In the course of several years, hundreds of people were converted to Christ, and many churches had to be built to take care of them. Again, the Holy Spirit of God came down in power. The preacher during those days was the Reverend Duncan Campbell. Yet what took place on Lewis was not due to his pulpit skills, but to the overwhelming moving of God among the people. Strong men, hardened sinners who mocked the preacher, were suddenly struck to their knees under conviction of sin. Young people in a local dance hall left their frivolity and ran to the churches crying for mercy upon their souls. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make available CD copies of the personal testimonies of people who came to salvation in Jesus Christ during those revival times on the Isle of Lewis. Also, we offer a CD containing Duncan Campbell's own account of that remarkable visitation by God. The CDs are $5 each, which includes postage and handling, or you may order both CDs for just $8. To obtain your own copy, you may simply send a check for either or both CDs, made out to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just request the CDs of the revival on the Isle of Lewis. If you wish, you may email ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. You will be greatly blessed as you listen to these accounts of the power of God at work.
We're turning this morning to the book of Joshua, chapter 2. We're continuing with the studies in Hebrews, chapter 11. But the background reading is in Joshua, chapter 2. The summary of this passage is in Hebrews 11, 31. Our text for today: by faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. In many ways, Jericho is a picture of the whole world, while its people give a fair representation of men and women generally. Jericho had a history of great sin. Jericho also had a future, a fairly brief future, a future of great bleakness. Suspended over that city was the sword of the justice and the judgment and the wrath of God. It was only a matter of time. There was no question if God would bring Jericho into judgment. The question only was when. When the armies of Israel were rumored to be coming near the city, to have crossed the Jordan, then Jericho was thrown into a state of great panic. Fear bred watchfulness, and watchfulness created suspicion. The men of Jericho were determined to withstand the armies of Israel and their God. Thus, the entrance of the spies from Joshua into Jericho was an escapade fraught with great danger. In some way, they found their way to the house of Rahab the harlot. Their presence was suspected very quickly, and Rahab made the momentous decision that she would hide the spies from the men whom her own king had sent to seek them out, in return receiving a promise that her life and the lives of her family would be spared from the general destruction of Jericho. And thus it is that Paul sums up this entire sequence of events: by faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. Paul's statement, and also James's, for he deals with this as well, one showing that she was saved by faith, the other showing that she was saved by a faith that was produced, that produced good works. When they deal with this, they have created controversy. You'll find that men focus on Rahab's deceiving of the king and his men, rather than on her faith. I think of one very eminent preacher and theologian and Bible teacher, a man whose writings I personally greatly admire. And when he deals with Rahab, he really deals with her rather harshly because of what he calls her lying. On the other hand, there are people whose writings, I have to be honest, I don't greatly find any benefit from. But they are people who are supreme philosophers in the realm of theology, and they like to take what they think they find in Scripture. Sometimes I think they have wild imaginations, and they build it into some great philosophical structure, and they have actually built an entire philosophy of when it is right and godly and justified for God's people to be liars. I think most Christians simply ask the question, how does the Holy Ghost say it was by faith
that Rahab did what she did when she was guilty of deception.
I may be rather easy on Rahab. After all, she was just coming to faith. And I think that there's many a person who has criticized her whose life would not measure up to hers in this particular instance. But I always like to try to give the benefit of the doubt, if possible. The scripture, I think, is rather careful in the words that it uses to describe the incident. The king of Jericho said, "Two men came here, where are they?" Now remember, you're dealing with a brothel house. Not a very nice picture. Rahab's not a romantic character. She's a rotten character before God gets hold of her. The king sends word, says, "There are two men entered into your house. Where have they gone?" You're dealing with a brothel house. I think it's quite possible that Rahab, while quite well knowing what the king meant, could honestly say, "Oh yes, two men were here and they went that away." Not a word of a lie in it. And quickly hoping that the king would jump to the wrong conclusion. She may well have done that. But if she did downright lie to the man, I think the words of an old Puritan are very apt here. He said, "Her lie was an infirmity pardoned by God and not to be exaggerated by men." And here he says the apostle mentions her faith, but not a word of her lie. There was some weakness in her action, but the main, that is the main part of it, was a duty expressing great confidence in God. The Holy Ghost puts his finger on the star. He takes notice of the good and he passes by the evil. So let me just dismiss Rahab's deception as easily as that. Don't stumble over her deception. Because the Holy Ghost, insofar as she sinned, pardoned her sin. And he focuses our attention upon her faith. He says, "By faith this harlot Rahab perished not with them that believe not." Now this story is of surpassing importance to every one of us. Because you see, this world in which we live is just one big Jericho. This world is inevitably headed for the judgment of God and for a final reckoning with its maker. That millions are going to perish as the people of Jericho perished is absolutely certain. But we ought to remember that Jericho was not merely a city of judgment. Jericho was a place of salvation. It was a place where the mighty power of God entered in, not only with a sword, but with a scarlet thread. Where God delivered the wickedest woman and the wickedest family, perhaps along with that woman. That story has a lot to tell you and me about how we can be saved from wrath through him. Let's think then of these words. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not. Let's think of the worst of sinners saved from wrath by faith. And I have three very, very simple, the simplest possible observations to make. And I want you to follow them carefully. First of all, Rahab the harlot. And I deliberately used the full description given by the Holy Ghost. Rahab the harlot was saved from the general destruction of Jericho. Beaming through this dark and terrible passage of judgment is the glorious truth that the Lord is a God of mercy. How often do we read in Scripture, "The mercy of the Lord endureth forever. Gracious is the Lord and merciful." How often do we read of the tender compassions of our God? I was reading just the other day of the Lord dealing with the northern tribes of Israel when they had Jeroboam the second on the throne, and they were full of wickedness and rebellion, hatred against God. They were headed for destruction. Their enemies came in against them like a mighty flood. And yet the Lord in compassion was moved on their behalf. For it was not his purpose to blot them out. God is a God of great mercy. He delights to save sinners. Religion nowadays is something got up for good people. Church, and of course, this has to be to a large extent, church and church fellowship should cater for the justified and the sanctified, the people of God. But I think we have missed the boat somewhere. The church now is identified with people who have little or no discernible need of salvation. Whereas in Scripture, the emphasis is upon God's love for sinners. Real sinners. Scarlet sinners. Black-hearted sinners, repulsive sinners. As I've said, there's nothing romantic about Rahab. She was a rotten, filthy, down-and-out prostitute, the worst and the wickedest of the women of Jericho. And yet she was the woman whom God delighted to save. Paul said, this is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. You can take your Bible and find example after example. We look at Rahab and think of the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. There are people who don't like God saving sinners. The Pharisees didn't like it. You remember in Luke 15, they said, this man receiveth sinners. And they didn't know the compliment they were paying the Lord. It was meant to be a mark of opprobrium. This man receiveth sinners, and he eateth with them. The Lord Jesus looked at them on another occasion, and he said, verily I say unto you that the publicans and harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. Some of you are in this meeting this morning and you were born into a Christian home. You were brought up in a Christian church. You've been taught by Christian teachers. You've been surrounded by every Christian influence. You would turn your nose up at the poor, down and out drunk, and the drug addict and the harlot. You have never walked their way. You've never sunk to their depths, but you'll go to hell while some of them go to heaven. Jesus said it. You may have never walked their way, but never for a moment think that's because you're intrinsically any better. The grace of God has surrounded you and kept you back from things that your heart and my heart are equally capable of doing. There is not a sin in the book. There's not a step that human feet can take, not a thought that human minds can think, not an action that human hands can do, that you or I are not utterly, totally, personally capable of doing were it not for the preventing grace of God. There's no room for pride in any one of us.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.